Welcome. You're listening to the BIV podcast. I'm Haley Wooden Hastings, editor-in-chief of BIV, and this episode is sponsored by NoviPro Group. NoviPro and partners recently released the 8th edition of their IT Trends Report, and my guest today will walk us through some of the headline findings, if you will, documented in the Canadian version of the report. Steve Small is the director of sales at Blair Technology Solutions, Inc. Steve, welcome to the show, and thanks so much for joining me.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to be here. We're pleased with the way this report's turned out this year.
It's very comprehensive and there's a lot to get to, but perhaps to start us off, can you walk me through the purpose of the report? As I mentioned, it's in its 8th year now, and also where the findings come from.
That's right. Yes, it is the 8th edition. What we've done at NoviPro Group is conducted a study with Leger Consulting to go out to reach out to businesses across Canada. So we touched over 450 different businesses of all sizes, so small, medium, and large enterprise, and really to get a finger on the pulse of how businesses perceive information technology and what are their priorities, what things are important to them for the upcoming year. So that's really the purpose of doing this annually. And of course, now that we've got several years of history behind us, we're able to track some of the trends and see what's changing and what's evolving and what are the key topics people are really zeroed in on.
I think that's great to have that multi-year perspective. And certainly as a user of technology, there's some trends that have emerged over the past couple of years that maybe weren't quite as high profile 8 years ago when the first edition of the report came out. But why don't we walk through some of the sections in the report? And I'd encourage listeners to Sure. take a look. There's so much data. But the first section looks at the impact and influence of in IT. And Steve, what really jumps out to you as a key finding or key takeaways when it comes to the role of IT in business today?
Yeah, I would say, you know, there's certainly a high degree of involvement between IT and the IT decision makers in a business and the overall business leaders, line of businesses. What the survey showed was about 80% perceive IT as a key stakeholder and involved in business-making decisions. However, what kind of jumped as well was the fact that, 31% of companies actually perceive IT more as a necessary evil, which is, you know, slightly at odds with the overall perception and the alignment. But I think we can, through some of the sections, we'll see what that trend really tells us. But it's interesting that it's a bit of a dichotomy between, a true participant versus having to be there.
That's so interesting because I've heard the phrase that every company now in some way, shape or form is a tech company, or at the very least, companies are using technology to support their business. Why do you think there is maybe a disconnect between or labeling IT as this necessary evil rather than a core critical part of engaging and doing business?
I think there's always been a perception that depending on how a company has structured their IT team, they might be viewed as a cost center versus a contributor to top line revenue, and therefore possibly a drag on the bottom line versus some of the more strategic companies that were part of the survey tend to view it in the opposite way, which is that IT is more of a contributor to top line revenue and therefore margin on the business overall, if used effectively. So again, across all sizes of businesses in all sorts of industries, you get different perspectives on that, which the report highlights.
Fair enough. One statistic that jumped out to me was that 2/3 of Canadian companies say the state of their technology infrastructure is quote unquote functional. I don't know if that's a bad thing or a positive thing. What does that suggest to you, the use of the term functional to describe technology infrastructure?
Yeah, it's a term that can be open for interpretation, but I think what it says to us that for those that are in the industry, you know, it's doing its job effectively in most cases for the average user in the company that's interacting with the technology. However, the percentage of folks that might have a different opinion on that may be the ones that are in the camp that say, look, we're not necessarily doing all of the strategic things that we could be with IT. So I think the door is open there within Canadian businesses, at least, that they could be doing more with technology.
Perhaps some room for improvement, maybe.
Absolutely.
The report interestingly highlights the fact that we're in difficult times and that we're at a bit of a crossroads economically, environmentally speaking. Certainly, there's been a lot of coverage of the fact we're facing a productivity crisis in our economy. We're facing a climate crisis, an acute affordability crisis. Where does IT fit into this equation? What's the opportunity around maybe using IT to help address some pretty pervasive and challenging business problems?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, certainly in Canada, if you look at studies, Canada tends to lag its peers in the world from a productivity perspective. And as you pointed out, there are all sorts of macroeconomic factors that contribute, but specific to IT, you know, I think there's gains that can be made for those companies willing to be strategic and make the leading edge investments to really be able to use IT as a competitive advantage to improve productivity and overall operational effectiveness. But again, we see differences in the Canadian market where, and probably not surprisingly, some of the larger organizations tend to be leading in that space, mainly due to having more resources from a budget perspective available to them. But I think what's the important message for small and medium businesses is that to stay competitive in that space, you know, they really need to be mindful of where they're placing their valued IT dollars and making sure they're placing their bets accordingly.
What has been the trend line, if you will, Steve, when it comes to the cost of IT solutions? Is it becoming, generally speaking, more affordable or more realistic for smaller or medium-sized firms to make necessary investments to meaningfully, say, address or improve productivity?
I would say through the pandemic years, we've seen a little bit of an uptick in certain costs, mainly around hard goods, et cetera, due to supply chain issues. But in 2024, we're starting to see that smooth out a little bit. So from a cost perspective around, you know, pure capital, that has been a challenge, but we see that perhaps diminishing. But I think the more significant investment that particularly small and medium businesses to be need to be looking at is the cost of their human capital and the skills and the skill sets necessary to remain competitive. We see more and more of those firms starting to look outside their organization for some strategic help in being able to fill some of those gaps rather than taking on full-time employees necessarily and looking for those skill sets in-house.
I have to imagine one area where firms of any size might be looking for some of that outside perspective or skills or help might be as firms consider AI. As an IT industry leader yourself in the industry, can tell me a bit about how, say, you and your peers are thinking about AI adoption and how you approach, say, the risk versus reward of implementing AI in a business.
Yeah, this is, you know, the study showed this you know, quite abundantly this year. AI is on the minds of everyone in the IT world. And it's really, we're right at the beginning of this new frontier. We've kind of passed through what was the cloud phase, I will say, and a lot of people have wrapped their mind around that. Now we're at this phase with AI where clients are really wondering what to do with it. Again, no surprise that some of the larger organizations with the resources and the means can afford to be a little bit more on the leading edge because they can afford to take some risks. Because that's one of the challenges I think any client is facing currently is placing their bets strategically, given that we're right at the beginning of this next revolution in terms of how AI can play a role in just about any function within a business. It's easy to perhaps run into things and invest money without particular line of sight to the return on investment, whereas some of the smaller businesses obviously don't have that luxury, and therefore the survey shows that many of them are still potentially sitting on the sidelines. The drawback, of course, of staying on the sidelines too long is that clients and companies will miss opportunities. And therefore, that leads to getting further behind where their peers, not only in Canada are, but globally as well.
It's an interesting point, as you say, that the strategy or the strategic thinking piece is quite important, especially if AI is going to be here. It's also evolving quite rapidly. Where we are today is quite different than where we were 1 or even 2 years ago. Does the report shed any light on how organizations are prepared for AI, either whether they're prepared to adopt it internally, but also whether they're prepared for the disruption that might come from AI?
Yeah, I think they're certainly ready for it. But the question is, you know, how are they going to adopt it? Some of the interesting facts that we saw that, you know, 91% believe that it will definitely transform their business. So that's probably not a surprise. But only 69% of non-IT decision makers really believe that. So that was a bit of a surprise to us, you know, wondering what the other 30% are thinking in terms of AI, because again, it, you know, aside from the study, it's prevalent everywhere, that you hear media and entertainment and other sources. So be interesting to see how those companies come around between now and next year and whether or not that kind of closes the gap for the non-IT folks in the business versus those that are living and breathing it more on a day-to-day basis in IT specifically.
Absolutely. And can you give us a bit of an update when it comes to Canadian companies generally? How is AI being used today? In what ways, what tools are being implemented?
It's being used in all sorts of different fashions. I mean, with the advent of you know, things like ChatGPT, I mean, it's in everyday life for just about everyone, whether they're in business or not. Where we're predominantly seeing early adoption is around productivity tools and things like chatbots for customer service transactions. We're seeing some interesting advances in healthcare and the ability to, you know, do things like interpreting radiology and providing more timely and accurate results from that perspective. So it's a really it's interesting to see how it's becoming more pervasive cross industry, because again, there's no business that that is sort of immune from this technology and where it's headed.
Are you seeing much overlap or intersection between artificial intelligence tools and the issue of cybersecurity?
Absolutely. There's definitely an intersection there, and that, you know, applies to IT governance as well. You know, again, early adopters with tools such as ChatGPT, you know, you can certainly read all of the cases out there where clients have asked, you know, all sorts of interesting questions, but using proprietary company data, which now becomes public domain. So, you know, IT governance, data governance, and securing that data absolutely needs to be foundational as companies determine what their plans are for using AI and how they're going to infuse that into their business in order to protect not only corporate assets and corporate data that give them competitive advantage, but of course, from a data privacy perspective as well, you know, exposing themselves to the threats of cybersecurity, which are unfortunately continue to be extremely prevalent.
Yeah, tell me a bit more about that. What is the state of cybersecurity among Canadian businesses? Are the necessary investments generally being made to ensure firms are cyber secure?
In general, you know, clients are paying attention to this. This was probably one of the top things that came out of this report, is that it continues to be one of the top focuses. Between AI and cybersecurity, those would have been the top two takeaways from this report that we found that businesses were focused on. A lot of times the threats tend to be internal in nature, which is what the data showed us, versus external, which is interesting. But certainly all companies are focused on it. It then becomes a question of, you know, what are they actually doing about it? And do all of them have, you know, cyber insurance as an example? And we're finding more than half do not. There's certain inhibitors to that, of course, but then you're also finding clients that don't necessarily have business continuity plans for cyber attack. So while it's top of mind, there's still a lot of room for growth in terms of putting the execution in place to actually have a resilient environment and being in a position to do the best you can to protect against the threats that are out there.
Well, one thing that leapt off the page at me is the cost of cyber attacks, that 24% of successful attacks or breaches cost more than $500,000 on average. And so when thinking of sort of the risk versus reward or the cost of maybe investing in a tool to shore up cybersecurity, it's important to also think about the cost of not doing anything. That's quite a high number.
Absolutely. And, you know, you combine that with the fact, I think it was nearly a quarter, or sorry, 20 or 21% of companies were also reporting that they had been attacked or breached, which we assume to be on the low end of things, because there's probably a number of companies that don't want to make it public that they've been breached. So that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg. But you combine that with the average cost. Absolutely. I mean, you can't afford not to take action. I think, again, where we see a bit of disparity between larger enterprises and smaller ones is that the smaller ones don't necessarily have the economic resources that the large ones do. So, again, they've got to choose their solutions and choose their partners carefully to make sure that they are maximizing the investments they're able to make. But certainly, sticking one's head in the sand and pretending that it won't be me, you know, I don't think is an alternative for any company out there.
No, and not to sound too cynical, but in thinking about AI and the tools available to businesses, to consumers, I imagine similar tools are available to those who are looking to deploy a cyber attack of some kind. Is that something we can maybe expect in the years to come, the increasing sophistication of these kinds of attacks and threats?
Absolutely. I think that's, you know, proven itself, unfortunately, in any aspect of IT in terms of being able to protect over the years. Now, the good news is, though, that we're also seeing an uptick in the sophistication of the tools that are available to protect businesses. We're seeing more and more infusion of artificial intelligence and AI in the cybersecurity protection methods. We're seeing more solutions being available to clients on a cloud or software as a service consumption model, so that there's almost a democratization of the available technologies, the leading edge ones, to even the smaller clients. They've just got to be aware and, again, working with a leading edge provider that can shepherd them towards the solution that best fits their needs and their budget.
You'd mentioned earlier the issue of investing in human capital and those who have the understanding, the skills to deploy and manage the kinds of technologies that we're talking about. What would you say are the biggest challenges around IT hiring and human capital at this point in time for businesses?
Well, what we've seen, you know, particularly through the pandemic era, is that with people working, particularly in the IT industry, more and more remotely, what has that done from a Canadian perspective is that it's opened us up to, you know, businesses in the US that are looking for resources or even globally. And therefore, that talent pool, which was once confined nicely to Canada, is now exposed to the global market. Good for the employee. They've got choice. Maybe not so good for the Canadian businesses. And that's an interesting one as well, because we saw some geographical differences there as well, looking province to province. You know, Quebec appeared to have a harder time actually attracting IT resources, whereas the rest of Canada, their problem was retaining the IT resources. So differences do pop up geographically, even within Canada as well.
That's quite interesting. And we've been talking throughout this conversation a bit about some of the differences and the challenges faced by smaller firms versus larger firms. Would I be correct in assuming that it's a particularly tougher challenge for firms that are smaller in size versus those that maybe have the resources to invest more in attracting the right talent?
It certainly can be. I think what a lot of respondents indicated was that it's helpful to retain talent if there's a good programs around education and training. Of course, that comes hand in hand with some cost. So obviously, larger businesses are able to make those investments, and therefore retention of talent for them is a little bit easier. And that was one of the reasons why, was purely from a training perspective. But again, I think there's a certain aspect of, you know, larger businesses attract people naturally because of name brand. It's a nice logo to have on a resume, perhaps. But ultimately, I think if clients or customers are providing interesting environments and interesting projects for resources to work on, then I think that's how they potentially counteract some of the strengths that the bigger companies have.
One data point I found quite interesting and encouraging is that 80% of Canadian businesses plan to make at least one investment to modernize their technology infrastructure in the next year. And maybe they'll modernize some of that infrastructure they labeled as functional earlier in the report. Is this encouraging from your perspective? Is this a sort of a strong indicator of companies at least thinking along the right lines?
I think it is that, the fact that they've got the forethought to be making those strategic bets on whatever's coming next. And, you know, many of them are looking at the infusion of AI as that next investment. But again, you know, thinking about it and doing it tend to be two different things. So that's what we're going to be monitoring over the coming months and into next year. And hopefully when we see next year's report, we're going to see an uptick of those that are actually implementing the solutions, whether that be modernization, a continued march towards cloud, but more importantly, AI infusion into the business, as well as, you know, increased spending around cybersecurity.
Do you have a sense of how modern our Canadian businesses are from an IT perspective? And are there any interesting changes or differences sector to sector or province to province?
We definitely see differences in the perception in terms of what clients think about modernization. And it seems to align with size of business. So the larger businesses seem to be more focused on modernization and doing so because of security and compliance concerns as the driving factor. Whereas medium businesses, their top reason for looking at modernization was for return on investment and productivity. Then you look at small businesses, and their primary driver for doing modernization was actually integrating it with their existing infrastructure and capabilities. That was their primary concern. So interesting to see the range of driving factors across different sizes of business. I would say that one key driving factor from a geographical perspective that was consistent across Canada, at least, was that part of the reason for modernization had some element of security at its heart. So while, you know, encouraging to see that plays a role, security tends to be one of those things that's, you know, more of a forced march versus one of business innovation. So again, it will be interesting to see if that evolves over time, if some of the Canadian businesses, you know, kind of surface to the top to become more thought leaders in terms of how they're going to view modernization for competitive edge, not only in Canada, but globally.
That's fascinating. And I'm curious, I'm here in Vancouver. What can you tell us about BC businesses, or frankly, businesses across provinces, and how provinces might compare when it comes to the investments they're making in IT? Are the findings of the report generally applicable across the country, or are there some interesting differences, let's say?
Again, from a modernization perspective in particular, we found, unfortunately, Quebec seemed to trail the others, whereas, you know, BC happened to be one of the leaders in that respect. So encouraging for your local audience there, for sure, from an IT point of view. Not sure whether it's that fresh air and the view of the mountains and the sea that sparks creativity and thought leadership. But I think, you know, perhaps to some degree, it may go hand in hand with the stat I commented on earlier, just about the ability to attract talent in Quebec in particular. That might be part of the challenge that they're facing in order to be more on the leading edge of things with respect to modernization.
Mm-hmm. Before we close, Steve, I want to ask you, what are one or two of your top takeaways? And to our audience listening, I would encourage everyone to check out the report, and we'll link to it in the show notes in the description. But from your perspective, Steve, what stands out for you, and what should businesses really try and take away from the report?
I think one message that was clear throughout all of the sections was that if there is tight synergy between the IT leadership and the business, and if they are each have a seat at the same table and the communication is clear and open, then those businesses tend to be more on the leading edge of things. If there's misperceptions of IT being more of a cost center only and not a contributor to the top line and bottom line of the business, then we tend to find those folks in the lagging category. Again, the other key takeaways were that, you know, we consider AI and cybersecurity to be two of the foremost topics of interest this year. Again, it's going to be interesting to see how those folks actually put those practices into real adoption versus just thinking about it.
Yeah, good intentions are great, right? But it is the investment and the action that will matter.
Exactly.
Well, Steve, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thanks for making the time, and I look forward to maybe having the opportunity to speak to you about the 9th edition of the report when that's ready.
We would look forward to that. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate your time.
My guest today has been Steve Small. He's the Director of Sales at Blair Technology Solutions, Inc. We've been talking about the IT Trends Report, the 8th edition of it from NoviPro Group. Again, you can find a link to that report, and I recommend you check it out in the show notes or the description below this episode. You've been listening to the BIV podcast. I'm Haley Wooden-Hastings, Editor-in-Chief of BIV. You can listen to this or watch it at biv.com, and also find our archive of podcasts available there as well. Thanks again for listening.